Inspector Bill Slade to Detective Sergeant and kicked him out of Denton Division. Some people said he was treated unfairly. Others were damn glad to see him go. But one thing is certain. If it hadn't been for the bank raid, they never would have brought him back.
How would you like it?
Oh, I'll have five, please.
Five's right.
Bennington's Bank, Market Street, Denton. 2:30, Wednesday afternoon. Everything boringly normal, until...
No one move! Do what we say, now I'm going to get hurt!
Please, I've got to get out, I can't stay here. Please, let me go!
Thank you. Now open up those tills. Open them.
Yes, yes.
Take out the money. Hold in the notes. Now push them forward.
All right.
Both hands. What are you doing? Who started the alarm? Ah, you cow. You bloody cow.
Leave her. I said leave her. Let's get out of here. And no one move.
Cover Up by R.D. Wingfield. With Andrew Burt as the narrator, Detective Constable Kilburn, David Sinclair as Detective Sergeant Slade, and David Garth as Detective Inspector Hackman. Cover Up.
X-ray Delta 3 to control. X-ray Delta 3 to control.
Control. Yeah. Come in, X-ray Delta 3.
I am returning to station from incident in Roman Road. Have on board Detective Inspector Adams and Detective Sergeant Collier. Over.
Thank you, X-ray Delta 3. Over and out.
What the hell? Alarm, Sergeant. Bennington Bank, Market Street.
Denton Control to all units. Alarm call. Bennington's Bank, Market Street. Who's in vicinity? Over.
Hello, Control. Golf Bravo 2. I'm in Eagle Lane. Proceeding immediately to Market Street.
Thank you, Golf Bravo 2.
Denton Police? Yes, sir. Car's on the way. Can we have some details? Yeah, hold on. Sarge, manager of Bennington Bank on the phone. Two men, stocking masks, mid-20s.
Two men, stocking masks, mid-20s, denims. Both armed. One with a shotgun, one with a revolver. Made off in red Ford Escort. Registration number believed to be WHE, Whiskey Hotel Echo, or WHF, Whiskey Hotel Foxtrot, 9-something-something, 8 or 5.
Yeah, only permutation of 8 from 24. Stem! Tell control.
X-ray Delta 3 to control. Red Ford Escort registration number. Whiskey Hotel Foxtrot. 9-er, 3-er, 5-er, 8-er. Two passengers proceeding north towards Fellbridge. We are in pursuit. Over.
Message acknowledged, X-ray Delta 3. We'll send assistance. And would remind you that the suspects are armed.
Thank you, Control. The suspects turning
right at Hayford Junction.
Stop, Milner.
Take over, Harding. Sir. Yes, sir?
I've just heard about the armed robbery. What's the position?
X-ray Delta in hot pursuit, sir. They've got Mr. Adams and Mr. Collier with them.
Well, how much did they get away with?
Nothing, sir, as far as I know. A cashier set off the alarm and they ran for it.
Anyone hurt?
A woman customer chucked a milk bottle at one of them. Caught him in the head.
Do any damage?
Lots of blood and broken glass on the floor, sir. One of them could have a nasty headache.
X-ray Delta 3 to control. Come in, please. Urgent.
Sarge.
Excuse me, sir. Coming. Come in, X-ray Delta 3.
Come in, X-ray Delta 3.
We are closing in on suspect vehicle. Approaching main Denton roundabout. Would appreciate...
It's on the body! Look out!
It seemed impossible that anyone could get out of that mangled wreckage alive. The police observer and Detective Sergeant Collier were dragged out unconscious, arms, legs and ribs broken. Inspector Adams had severe internal injuries and a fractured skull. It took the fire brigade over an hour to cut the driver free of the wreckage. The doctors gave him very little chance. The Ford Escort, of course, got clean away. I was sent to the bank with Detective Inspector Hackman to get a description of the two men.
It all happened so quickly.
I appreciate that, madam. But you must have noticed something about them. I mean, was their hair long? Short? Were they clean-shaven?
I've told you everything I've remembered, Inspector. No. It was terrifying. They wore those stocking things. It distorted their faces. Oh, wait a minute. The one with the gun.
Oh, the shotgun?
No, the other one. The one the lady threw the bottle at. I think he wore a ring.
Oh, good. Now, what sort of ring?
Sort of silver. Quite big.
Yeah, signet ring?
It could have been. I don't know.
Which hand, then? Left or right?
I don't know. His right, I think. I'm sorry, all happened so quickly.
Thank you, madam. Kilburn.
Sir. Well, you should think of anything else, madam.
Yes, of course.
Now, any of your witnesses mention a signet ring, Kilburn?
No, sir. Shall I ask them?
Oh, don't be more stupid than you can help, Constable. If you ask them, they'll all remember a ring, whether he was wearing one or not.
I should have mentioned that if Mr. Hackman didn't like you, he didn't like you. And he certainly didn't like me. The abandoned Ford Escort turned up in a side road half an hour later.
Forensic finished with it, Gordon?
Yeah, for the time being, sir. Oh, but don't touch the dashboard. They've lifted some prints.
Yeah.
And mind the blood.
Blood?
Yeah, it's on the hairdresser. It's probably where the old dear christened him with a milk bottle.
Oh, that reminds me. Kilburn.
Sir?
Get control to contact all hospitals, doctors and chemists in the area. Anyone requesting treatment for a head wound, I want to know.
Right.
Now, Constable. Now. When did I think I meant? Next bloody week.
Right, sir.
Now, do we know whose car this is?
Oh, yes, sir. It was reported stolen from a house in Haywood's Crescent early this morning. It belongs to a Mrs. Lily Grigson.
Married?
Yeah, well, divorced, sir.
Oh. Check her out. See if she's got any tearaway boyfriends.
She's over 70, sir.
Well, check her out anyway. Sir. Never know your luck. Oh, I'm looking for an assistant. You interested, Gordon?
Well, I thought Kilburn was your assistant, sir.
He was. But he's got a surprise coming.
I wasn't the only one to have a surprise coming. The superintendent had one up his sleeve for Mr. Hackman.
Detective Sergeant Slade? No, sir. No way. He's trouble. There's no way I'm having him back.
Two armed men on the loose. Four police officers in the hospital. We need extra help.
Yeah, but not him.
He knows the area. He gets results.
By using his fists. And he'll start raking up that other business.
I'll make certain he doesn't. It'll only be for a few days. You'll hardly see him. You'll be in court in the Anderson trial. As soon as you're back, he goes.
I don't like it, sir.
Well, quite frankly, neither do I. I fought it tooth and nail, but County insisted. They're breathing down our necks on this one, Inspector. They want results. If we don't get them, we're in trouble.
Denton Police? No, I think it's with the superintendent. I'll put you through.
Who is this bloke, Slade, Sarge? Replacement from County.
He's not a bloke, he's a detective sergeant.
He used to work here, didn't he, Sarge?
A couple of years ago, yes.
Until they demoted him and kicked him out.
Demoted him?
From inspector to sergeant.
They didn't kick him out, he was transferred.
Transferred from here? That's not a punishment, that's a reward. Mr. Hackman's been shouting at you again.
Well, he treats me like an idiot.
He's a good judge of character. I'll get on with your work, you two.
Why did they kick him out, Sarge?
He had a fight with Mr. Hackman and half killed him.
You talk too much.
Is that really what happened?
Yes, now let it drop. Mr. Hackman's coming.
Don't look very happy, does he?
Sergeant Milner, have you heard who we're having as temporary replacement?
Yes, sir, we were just discussing it. Quite a surprise.
Surprise? It's bloody madness. Stark bloody madness.
Inspector.
Now, what is it now?
Forensic have identified the fingerprints on the Ford Escort, sir. Dear old Harry Rawlings.
Ah, Harry Rawlings.
Yes, sir.
Now, this could be the break we're looking for. He's got form as long as your arm. Robbery, breaking and entering. Yes, we could get this tied up tonight.
The inspector was taking no chances. If Harry Rawlings was armed, we were going to have police marksmen surrounding the house. Spotlights, loud hailers in case of a siege. There was one thing he didn't intend to take with him, though.
Just going, Sergeant.
Shall we go in my car, sir?
No, Constable, you won't be coming. You're no longer with me. Sergeant Milner will explain. Come on, Gordon.
Sir.
What's all this, then, Sarge?
Sorry, Kilburn. I should have mentioned it earlier. Nothing against you, but Mr. Hackman feels he needs a more experienced assistant.
So what am I supposed to have done wrong?
Nothing. You just haven't got the experience.
Then how the hell am I going to get the experience?
You can keep your voice down for a start. There's no point in getting upset. We all know what Mr. Hackman is like.
I want to see the superintendent.
To do you no good. Now take a tip from someone who knows. Let it drop.
But I couldn't let it drop. I was fuming. And now I was looking forward to the arrival of Detective Sergeant Slade. Anyone who had half-killed Mr. Hackman just had to be my folk hero. It was nearly midnight before he arrived.
Yes, madam. We've circulated the description. If anyone brings it in, we'll let you know.
Sounds a real right cow, and I wonder a dog ran away.
Sarge, this fight that Mr. Slade had with Inspector Hackman, what was it about?
It was about nothing. Now get on with your work.
There must have been a reason.
You need a reason to smack Mr. Hackman on the nose.
What was it all about then, Sarge?
All right, I suppose I'll get no peace until I do tell you. Bill Slade had a daughter, 17 years old. She was killed, knocked down by a hit and run. No witnesses, the driver was never traced. Hackman was in charge of the investigation.
And?
Slade made up his mind that there were irregularities, that Hackman knew who the driver was, but had accepted a bribe to keep his mouth shut.
Accepting bribes? I wouldn't put that past Hackman.
Mr. Hackman to you. And don't let me hear that sort of talk. He's your superior officer, and there was absolutely no proof.
Mr. Hackman would have been too clever for that.
I'm warning you, Harding. Your mother's going to get you into serious trouble one of these days. Now let the entire matter drop.
Shop? Anyone serving in here?
Who the hell do you say? Bill Slade!
Has the man no shame? Returning to the scene of his former downfall? Why aren't the flags out? He knew I was coming.
We didn't expect you till the morning.
That explains it. Yeah, it's good to be back in the old place. Whew. Same old smells. Furniture polish, disinfectant, and the hint of something nasty from the drunk cell. Talking of something nasty, where's Hackman?
Out picking up a suspect.
Oh, I bet he was overjoyed at the news of my return.
I've seen him looking happier. Forget whose funeral, though. You won't know these two layabouts. P.C. Harding.
Hello.
And Detective Constable Kilburn.
How
he'll be your assistant.
Drew the short straw, did you, Kilburn? Well, what office have I got?
Small one at the end of the corridor. I'll show you.
I'll say it's small. Used to be a broom cupboard. It must be somewhere else.
I was told to put you as far away from Mr. Hackman as possible.
Why, does he smell of something? You can have that desk, Kilburn.
Oh, right.
Old files still kept in the storeroom, Sergeant.
Your daughter's file has been moved to the confidential record room. Mr. Hackman's orders.
Who keeps the keys?
I do, and you're not having them.
Ah, Kilburn, I've been looking...
Bill Slade. I expect people to knock before they come into my office, Hackman.
Inspector Hackman. Sergeant. Don't get up.
I had no intention of doing so.
Right. If you two would leave us.
Yes, sir.
Now, Slade. I didn't want you here. You're trouble, and that's one thing I can do without. But while you're here, you will treat me with respect. Do you understand?
Why has my daughter's file been moved to confidential record?
I have no intention of discussing my reasons. That case is done, over and finished with.
Have you spent all the bribe money?
Repeat that slander in anyone else's hearing, and you'll not only be out of the division, you'll be out of the force. And don't get too settled in here. You're going back tomorrow.
Am I?
Oh, yes. I brought in one of the bank bandits, and when he's coughed, I'll get the other. So I'm afraid you've had a wasted journey. If I don't see you again, goodbye, Sergeant.
Good riddance. Yeah?
What happened?
You come to sweep up the broken teeth, forget it. I exercised restraint and kept my hands in my pockets. Who's this suspect he's arrested?
Harry Rawlings.
Harry Rawlings? Wouldn't have thought robbing banks with shooters was his style.
His fingerprints are on the getaway car. A stocking mask was found in his house, and he can't provide an alibi.
Hmm. What time are the trains back tomorrow?
Sarge?
Knock before you come in here, Constable. I don't want you picking up Mr. Hackman's bad habits. What is it?
I've got Mr. George Tyson on the phone.
The MP for Denton? What's he want?
Wouldn't say. He asked for Mr. Hackman. I told him he wasn't available, so he said he wanted to speak to a senior police officer.
And he's going to be unlucky. This phone?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
My name's Tyson. I'm MP for the Denton constituency.
Yes, sir. I know who you are.
Good. I want a senior and experienced police officer at my house right away.
Would you mind telling me what it's all about, Mr. Tyson?
Not over the phone. I want this treated with the utmost confidence. And will you please use the back entrance? It's vital no one sees you. Is that understood?
You sure this is the house?
Trust me, Kilburn, trust me.
is it?
Police. Come in, quick. Anyone see you?
A couple of cows and a sheep. We came over the fields.
Good. Warrant card.
Here.
Detective Sergeant Slade. Slade?
That's right, sir.
I thought you'd left Denton.
Back for a few days, sir. Special guest appearance. My colleague is Detective Constable Kilburn.
I'd have thought an MP would have warranted someone higher up the scale than a sergeant and a constable.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning, sir. The choice is rather limited. Are we going to conduct our business in the passage?
In here. Jen, it's the police.
You don't care, do you? You don't care what they do to us.
Of course I care, but I was elected on a law and order ticket and I don't give way to threats. Anyway, no one could have seen them. They came in the back way. Sit down, Sergeant.
I'd like to know what all this is about.
It's about our son, Keith. He's in serious trouble.
Well, that's nothing new.
He's been kidnapped.
Oh, yeah?
Are you doubting us, Sergeant?
I've had previous experience of your son, sir. So let's just say I'm slightly skeptical.
Well, perhaps you won't be skeptical when you hear this.
What is it?
A tape recording of a phone call I received about half an hour ago.
I don't want to hear it again.
Then go and make some coffee or something.
You won't be happy until he's dead, will you?
Sorry about that.
That's all right, sir. Do you tape all telephone calls?
Yes, I find it pays. I think it starts here.
2743, Mr. Tyson. Mr. George Tyson, the MP.
Yes, who is this?
Don't ask questions, just listen. We've got your son.
What? Who are you?
I said listen, we've got him. We've not heard him too much, yet. If you want him back alive, get £10,000 in used, unmarked notes from your bank. Then put an ad in the Denton Echo personal column. All is ready, George. When we see the ad, we'll contact you again. Is that understood?
How do I know you've got him?
Just a minute. I bring him over here. It's your daddy, Keith. Wants to speak to you.
Dad?
Keith, what's happened?
What have they done to you?
Dad, you've got to do what they say. For God's sake, do what they say. Ah! No! Please!
Forgot something.
Oh!
About the police.
If you tell the police, Dad, they'll kill me. They'll do it, Dad. You've got to believe me. They'll do it.
10,000. Use notes. Add in paper and no police.
Hello? Hello? Hello, are you there?
Well, Sergeant?
Sounds genuine enough, sir. But so did those fake bomb calls he made 2 years ago. They took a hell of a lot of people in. I can never understand why the charges were suddenly dropped.
It was only 17.
Oh, was that the reason? You sure he's not hiding in a house somewhere, laughing his head off at us?
If he is, I'll wring his neck.
There you are, Constable. There's an incentive for you. Take a look round.
I looked everywhere anyone could possibly hide. He wasn't in the house. We then began asking questions. A slow and difficult business, as Mrs. Tyson was refusing to cooperate. We managed to glean that 19-year-old Keith, a student at Denton College, had been at home all day, studying for an exam.
Studying? Playing his records full blast, more like.
He was studying. You weren't here, you wouldn't know.
What time did he leave the house, Mrs. Tyson? Mrs. Tyson? Mrs. Tyson?
All these questions. They won't bring him back. Just go, Sergeant. Get out of here and go.
He left around about 7:30, she told me.
How'd he leave? On foot?
In his car. A light blue 1982 Mini with personalized number plates. KT001. A birthday present from his mother.
Well, there's not much more we can do tonight, sir. We'll be back tomorrow when your wife's feeling better.
But you're going to do something.
It's a bit late to start knocking on doors. We'll circulate details of his car. Someone might spot it. But if he should come back in the meantime, grinning all over his face, you will let us know, won't you? Come on, Constable.
Yes, sir. The sergeant still didn't think the kidnapping was genuine. I did. I was sure it was. As we drove back, I wondered how my old boss, Mr. Hackman, was getting on with his suspect.
My patience is wearing bloody thin, Rawlings.
We've got you. We've got you cold. No alibi, stocking mask, your fingerprints all over the damn car.
Well, I don't know how they got there.
I do. From your dirty little hands when you drove away from the bank. How many more times? I was nowhere near Bennington's flaming bank. I was indoors all the time.
Ah, but you can't prove it.
I don't have to prove it. And it's up to you to prove I wasn't.
Don't come that smart stuff with me, Rawlings. Four policemen in the hospital, one of them on the critical list. If he dies, it's murder. You needn't say another word. I've got everything on you I need to make a murder charge stick. But there were two of you. And I want your accomplice as well. Give me his name, and I'm willing to accept it was him who was firing at the police car, not you. Well, my patience is wearing bloody thin, Rawlings.
There was no accomplice. I was indoors at the time. I never went anywhere near that bank. And I want a solicitor.
By the time we got back to the station, Inspector Hackman had left for home.
Did he get a confession?
No, he's leaving Rawlings to stew overnight.
I think I'll go and have a word with him.
Oh, no, you won't. He's to see no one. Besides, if Mr. Hackman knew you'd been questioning his number one suspect... Bill, I said no.
Hello, Harry.
Oh, Mr. Slade. I thought they'd moved you on.
They couldn't manage without me.
Well, my son, you've got yourself in a real right mess, haven't you?
He's framing me, Mr. Slade. Framing me.
Come off it, Harry. It's only bad policemen who do things like that. We're talking about Mr. Hackman. Fag?
Oh, yeah, please. He took mine away. Wouldn't let me have him back.
Well, there's very few perks in this job.
The pressure's on him. On all of us. Four men in hospital. One very likely to die. We none of us take kindly to that, Harry.
I know nothing about it.
Of course you don't. That's why your prints were all over the car. Stocking mask in your bedroom. Housebreaking implements in your shed. No, I can see you're innocent.
So they find a housebreaking tool. It's fair enough. I'm a burglar. You know that, Mr. Slade. You've nicked me often enough. But I don't use a shooter. And I don't hold up banks in broad daylight.
Your fingerprints were inside the car.
Well, he says they're mine.
And he's quite right, Harry. I've seen the photographs. And the forensic reports.
Well, I don't know how he did it, but he fiddled it somehow. He framed me. I mean, that stocking mask, on my word of honor, Mr. Slade, that was not in my house. He brought it with him. He planted it.
Harry.
I've only told you, Mr. Slade. I knew it'd be a waste of time telling anyone else. But we both know what Mr. Hackman's capable of.
Even if he planted that stocking... Sure as hell he didn't plant those fingers.
I never robbed no bank and I was never inside that car. I want a solicitor.
I want a 20-year-old nymphomaniac, Harry. But I don't pine for the unobtainable. You working?
Well, I was a toolmaker at Hinckley's, wasn't I, until he went bust.
That was 2 years ago. So what else you been doing, apart from housebreaking?
Well, I haven't broken into a house since you last nicked me.
Harry.
Well, if I ever... Certainly haven't been caught.
So, what else do you do?
Well, anything I can get. Day here, day there. Exhaust fitting, double glazing installations, paint spraying. Well, it's nothing regular. And that's why Doris left me.
And that's why you decided to rob Bennington's bank, to get some lolly to win her back.
Oh, do me a favour, Mr. Slade. It's been sheer heaven without her. I don't want her back. And I didn't rob no bank.
Do you know, Harry, I almost believe you.
It was another 3 hours before I could get to bed. I couldn't sleep. I staggered into the station dead tired at 10 the next morning. Sergeant Slade was already there, in the superintendent's office.
You did what, Slade?
I let Rawlings go, sir. I released him.
You let him go? My prisoner? My case?
Our case, Inspector. I was brought in to cooperate with you.
Oh, and that's how you cooperate.
I let him go because we had nothing to hold him on.
Nothing? There was the mask.
One of his wife's old stockings.
Housebreaking tools?
So, he's a burglar. But he robs houses, not banks.
And the fingerprints in the car?
Oh, they were his, all right, sir. But I found out how and when they got there. Rawlings does odd jobs. From time to time, he works as replacement fitter for Denton Exhaust Services. Last week, Mrs. Gregson took her Ford Escort along for a new exhaust. Who do you think fitted it?
Rawlings?
Right in one, sir. I've got the worksheet here. Just in case there should be any doubt, that's how his prints got inside the car. So I let him go. Simple as that.
Well, you should have discussed it with Mr. Hackman first.
He wasn't here, sir. He must have left early. And I knew you wouldn't have wanted us to have held an innocent man after he'd been cleared, if the press got hold of it.
Yes, of course.
We're left with a mystery, though.
Oh?
That stocking mask. Harry Rawlings is positive it wasn't in his house until you found it, Mr. Hackman. I mean, we know he wasn't involved, so how did it get there? Harry reckons you planted it.
You know damn well I did. That was just a ploy to get him confused, to get a statement from him. I'd never have used it as evidence.
You never mentioned this earlier, Inspector. You led me to believe it was genuine evidence.
I'm sorry, sir. I overlooked it.
All right. But if this sort of deviousness has been usual practice, I'd feel much happier if you would discontinue it immediately.
Of course, sir. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm due in court. Thank you, Slade.
My pleasure.
So, Slade, we're back to square one. No suspects, no leads, nothing. You're supposed to be the expert. What are you going to do?
We carry on rounding up and questioning our regulars. Not that it'll do us any good. I'm sure these are new boys.
We could have done that ourselves without bringing you here. What about your famous local knowledge, your informants?
I'll ask around. They may have heard something. Trouble is, a couple of punks with guns after money. They've tried once, they're going to try again. And at the moment, I don't see how we can stop them. Anyway, I must go. I've got another case to see to.
Other cases must wait. This is priority.
Fair enough, sir. I'm sure Mr. Tyson will understand. Eventually.
Tyson? RMP? Well, of course. Get over there right away. 10 o'clock. No wonder you bothered to turn up at all.
Sorry, sir. One of your constituents was shot yesterday. Had to give his case a few minutes of my time. I take it Master Keith hasn't returned to the fold?
No, of course he hasn't. He's been kidnapped.
I take it all your inquiries have come to naught?
His college friends don't know where he is. No one's seen his car.
So what's the next move?
The next move? I'd have thought that was obvious. You do what they say. Get the money. Pay them.
I don't kowtow to blackmail.
You'd kowtow fast enough if it was your life that was in danger.
Your wife's right, sir. Go along with him. Get the money. Put the ad in.
What the hell's the point of calling the police in, then?
Draw out the money and let us mark the notes.
No.
It's a special dime, Mrs. Tyson. The kidnappers won't notice a thing.
Our technical boys can slip a radio homing device in the money bag. We'll be able to pinpoint its exact location.
All right. I'll do what you say.
Good. Now, let's get down to basics. When Keith went out last night, Mrs. Tyson, did he say where he was going?
No. Not last night.
Nor any other damn night. Comes and goes as he pleases. Uses the house as a hotel.
Did you notice in which direction he drove off, Mrs. Tyson?
No, I didn't see. I was in here. I heard the front door slam as he left, that's all.
So we're not even certain he went off in his car.
Well, he goes everywhere by car.
Yeah, too damn lazy to walk.
Where does he garage it?
The brick lock-up round the corner.
Check it out, will you, Kilburn?
Right, Sarge.
Have you noticed anyone lurking about the place?
Were those men in the car?
Mm-hmm. That was nothing.
Tell me about them.
Monday night, about 8:30. I happened to glance out of the window and I saw this car. It was crawling past the house. Mm. There were three men inside, all staring in. Once past the house, it picked up speed and roared off. But 5 minutes later, it was back again. Mm. The men staring in, they had such vicious faces. I was alone in the house. I was terrified.
You've been watching too much television. They were probably looking for a house number.
What sort of car was it?
Big. Flashy, dark-coloured.
Can you describe any of the men?
No. They just looked like thugs.
Sound like double-glazing salesmen doing a recce. Still, could be important.
Sergeant, you got a minute?
Excuse me. So what? You found something?
In the lock-up. You'd better come and see for yourself. I didn't have to force the lock. Someone had already done it.
Yeah. More brute force than skill. Open it up. So he didn't take his car last night. Unless he drove it back afterwards.
Well, that depends when the damage was done.
Damage?
Well, the tyres.
Flat as a pancake. That's been done with a knife.
So the seats. Look, slashed to ribbons. And the windscreen.
Someone's belted that with a hammer. Can we have some light?
Right, if I can find it. Ah.
Well, that's better. What's that on the windscreen?
Well, it looks like blood.
Yeah. Don't like this, Kilburn. I don't like this one little bit. There's more blood over there on the floor. It's been leaking from this cupboard. Find something to open it.
I forced open the door. Inside, a huddled shape covered with blood-stained sacking. Slade pushed me back and slowly and carefully removed the covering.
It's a dog. An Alsatian.
Is it dead?
Of course it's dead. Head's been smashed in. Killed it with a sledgehammer. Then smashed the car windscreen. That's how the blood got there.
Oh, it's been dead a couple of days at least.
Yeah. Get Tyson over here. But don't let his wife know what we found.
What sort of morons are we dealing with? Yes. It is Keith's dog.
When did you last see it alive?
Monday evening. We thought it had run away.
Oh?
Keith only bought it at the end of last week. Suddenly decided he wanted a guard dog. Took it everywhere with him, even in the car. At night, he kept it in here.
And it was in here Monday night?
Yes. Yes, I heard it. We all did. Woke us up in the early hours of its damn barking. I yelled for Keith to go over and shut it up, and suddenly it stopped. Tuesday morning, he went to feed it, but it had gone. We assumed it had run off.
With the garage door locked?
Hadn't thought of that.
Did your son report its loss to the police, Mr. Tyson?
No.
What, an expensive dog. He should have done.
Well, lots of things my son should have done, Constable, but didn't.
Well, it wouldn't have made any difference. The dog was dead. Someone killed it, then smashed up the car.
Car wasn't smashed up on Monday night.
Why do you say that?
Well, I told you. My son came here Tuesday morning to feed the dog. If the car had been smashed, don't you think he'd have said?
Straight back, Sergeant.
No. I've a couple of calls to make first. Turn left at the top here. Any ideas why that car was damaged?
Well, kidnappers did it. They smash his car, so he has to walk. Then they offer him a lift, then... Well, they got him.
Well, there's more subtle ways of putting a car out of action than smashing it to pieces.
Oh. What do you reckon, then?
Try this for size. Keith Tyson owes a lot of money. He's told if he doesn't cough up, they'll put the boot in. So he buys himself a guard dog for protection. But they kill Fido and spoil the look of his motor, just to show they mean business. He knew who'd done it, but was too scared to go to the police.
We don't know he owed anyone money.
No, but we can find out. Pull up by that white house.
Oh, right.
That's where I used to live. When we divorced, my ex-wife took it as her share of the loot. She still lives there, with a new husband. That room up there used to be my daughter's room. I won't be long.
Yes?
Hello, Betty.
What do you want?
I've been transferred back for a couple of days. Thought I'd say hello.
Well, you've said it. Now go.
Hold on. How are you?
I'm fine. Marvellous. Never been better.
Good. Can I come in?
No.
How's David?
David's fine. I'm fine. We're both fine. He comes home regularly. He takes me out occasionally. He even talks to me. Actually, listens to me.
All the things I didn't do?
Yeah. The job, first and last, with you. Never mind your wife. Never mind your daughter.
That's not fair.
May not be fair, but it's true. When she was killed, where were you when I needed you?
You know where I was. Out trying to find a bastard who killed her. Well, I've got to find it, Betty. That I promise you. If it's the last thing I do, for her sake, I'm going to find it.
For her sake.
pity you didn't show such concern for your daughter when she was still alive.
What do you mean?
Now, do you think you could just please go?
Where to, Sarge?
Anywhere you damn well like. What the hell did I hope to achieve by going to see her? She's never forgiven me for Sally's death.
Do you want to talk about it?
Why not? I've got a photo somewhere. There. Taken on her 17th birthday. Just 2 days before it happened.
Mm. You're a lovely looking kid.
Yeah. There was a film she wanted to see. I was going to take her. My wife was away at her sister's. The last minute, something broke on a case I was working on, and I had to get back to the station. I didn't like disappointing Sally after I'd promised, but it was one of those things. She said she'd see the film on her own.
Well, wasn't there a boyfriend she could go with?
No. She was a quiet girl. Young for her age. Anyway, I dropped her off outside the Odeon at 8 o'clock. She waved me goodbye. The last time I saw her alive. Cigarette?
No, thanks.
I was out most of the night on a stakeout. Didn't get back to the station till past 2 in the morning. Inspector Hackman was waiting for me. I was surprised to see him. It was his off-duty night. He was all tarted up in evening dress. I started to make some crack when I saw his face. He told me Sally was dead. Knocked down and killed outside the Blue Diamond.
The Blue Diamond?
Yeah, sleazy nightclub and gambling house on the outskirts of Denton.
Yeah, I know that, but what was she doing there? Well, it's hardly the sort of place a 17-year-old would go to.
I don't know.
Hey, how did Mr. Hackman come to be in charge of a hit and run? Shouldn't it have been a job for traffic?
He was in the club at the time. He took charge.
And the hit-and-run driver was never traced?
If you believe Hackman, no. But I don't believe him.
Oh?
A couple of days later, I had a phone call. One of my informants. He said he was surprised to read in the paper that the driver never stopped. He said he was outside the club minutes after the accident. A big, expensive car was slewed across the road. Sally's body near it. Covered by a sheet. Hackman had the car door open, was talking to the driver. My informant said the bloke looked half cut. He said money appeared to change hands.
Did you tackle Mr. Hackman?
Too bloody true I did. He denied it. Said my informant had a grudge against him. The funny thing is, suddenly my informant went missing. Turned up a couple of days later with his face all bruised. Withdrew his story completely. That he'd made it up to get Mr. Hackman into trouble.
Which could well have been true.
No. He'd been got at to keep his mouth shut.
By Mr. Hackman?
Yeah. Driver of that car was someone special. Someone important. Blind, drunken. Killed a 17-year-old. So paid a packet to Hackman to hush all that up.
There's a hell of a lot of accusation there, Sarge. And a complete absence of proof.
Let's just say that I don't handicap myself by starting from the supposition that Hackman is an honest cop. Seen his house? Bloody palace. Ever wondered how he could afford the mortgage on an inspector's salary?
I thought his wife had money.
You believe that, you'll believe anything. He takes dropsy, left, right and centre. Keith Tyson wasn't charged for those bomb hoaxes. Everyone screaming for his blood, but the charges were dropped. Guess whose case it was?
Mr. Hackman's?
Who else? Still, I don't want to get you involved in all this. Hey, feel like a drink?
I wouldn't say no.
We'll combine business with pleasure. There's someone I want to see in this little pub I used to go to. Nice, quiet and peaceful place. You'll love it.
Nice, quiet and peaceful, did you say, Sarge?
It's changed. Bitter, do you?
It's fine, thanks.
Barman? Oi, barman! 2 pints of bitter, please.
All right, I've only got one pair of hands.
Mr. Slade! Well, there must be 2 years. Where have you been?
Standing here trying to get served. What's happened to this place? It's been nice, quiet and miserable.
New landlord, new ideas. Give the punters strippers to watch and they don't notice how rotten the beer is. 2 bitters, was it?
Please. Yeah, Charlie, I'm looking for Eddie Coker.
Eddie? No, I haven't seen him today. Most unusual for him. Here we are.
2 bitters, Tom. What do I owe you?
On the house.
Oh, you're a gentleman, Charlie. Reckon you could be even more of one and ask around about Eddie. Most important that I speak to him.
Well, hold on, I'll ask the other barman. He knows Eddie. Who is this Eddie Coker?
Like I was telling you about.
Oh, your informant, the one who saw the driver.
Yeah. I called on him last night. His landlady said he'd suddenly packed a case and got the hell out of there with no forwarding address. It's almost as if he knew I was back.
Coincidence, Sarge. How could he have known?
Mr. Slade?
Hmm?
Eddie was in here last night. But your Mr. Ackman came in and spoke to him. They left together.
Thanks, Charlie. Still a coincidence, Kilburn?
I don't know.
Drink up and we'll... Yeah, hold on. Someone over there who could help us. Yeah, grab your drink. Come on.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Ah, this will do it. Perhaps the gentleman would move up.
Yeah, who are you pushing?
Good Lord. Can't be. It is Arnold Porter.
Oh, no. What are you doing back?
Return engagement by popular demand. Nice to see you, Arnold.
To see you, nice. Must you sit here, Mr. Slade? People can see you.
I'm not proud. To me, you're still one of God's creatures. My beer-drinking chum is Detective Constable Kilburn. Mr. Kilburn, Arnold Porter.
Hello.
He's a copper's narc.
Not anymore, I'm not. I've got to be going. Ow!
Oh, sorry, Arnold. Was that your foot? What do you know about this bank job?
What bank job? Ow!
Oh, dear. I didn't kick the same spot, did I? I get more and more clumsy as I get older. You know darn well what bank job, Arnold.
Not a whisper, Mr. Slade. Word is they're new boys. None of our regulars.
I'm not interested in who they aren't. I want to know who they are.
Don't think I can help you, Mr. Slade?
I'm sure you can. What are you drinking?
Oh, that's pretty civil of you, Inspector.
Sergeant.
Miscarriage of justice, that was. I've always said so. I'll have a large whiskey.
Half a bitter for my friend, Charlie.
Bitter? I said whiskey, a large one.
Did you hear him say large whiskey, Constable?
Sounded like a small bitter to me, Sarge.
Ooh, there you are, Arnold. And policemen never lie. Unless they're on licensed premises. I want information on that bank job, Arnold. Ask around, let me know.
It won't be any good.
I'll be generous. I might even restrain myself from reopening the file on that Kirby Street warehouse job.
I'll do what I can.
Here we are. 1 half a bitter. Pay the man, would you, Arnold? I seem to have left my wallet in my other suit. '97, '98, '99, '100. Bung this with the others, Kilburn.
There's no need to count it. It was checked at the bank.
Banks have been known to make mistakes, Mr. Tyson. And I'm the one who's got to sign for it.
Mr. Tyson, heard you were here. Everything all right, sir?
Yes, Superintendent. I've brought the ransom money. I'm waiting while it's checked.
Look at your gants, aunt. Mr. Tyson's a very busy man. Sorry I couldn't give you Mr. Hackman. He's in court.
Damn nuisance. Still, there's one thing perhaps you could do for me.
Name it.
Once my son is back safe and sound, it wouldn't do any harm to let the press know that, in spite of my fears and concern for his safety, I cooperated up to the hilt with the police. Might sound better if it came from you rather than me.
I'll see to it personally. Will you be much longer, sir?
No, sir. I've finished. Here's your receipt, Mr. Tyson. You'll get the money back as soon as Forensic can finish with it.
Thank you.
One thing, sir. Does your son gamble?
Why on earth do you ask that?
Just a vague line of inquiry. Probably not important. Does he?
He did. About a year ago. Ran up debts of nearly £500, which I had to pay. I made it clear that if he gambled again, I'd pull him out of college and put him into a job. That, I assure you, put a stop to it.
Who did he bet with when he was gambling?
Sammy Levin.
What?
You know him?
Oh, we know him, sir. Haven't been able to put him inside yet, but we're trying very hard. Thank you, sir.
Allow me to show you out, Mr. Tyson.
Now, any worries, just give me a ring. Anytime.
Brendan.
I'll get this over to forensic then, Sarge.
Yeah. And don't stop at any sweet shops on the way. I've signed for that little lot. Slade?
It's me, Mr. Slade. Arnold Porter. Those boys with the guns. I've got something for you.
Then let's have it.
Not over the phone. And it'll cost you $2,000.
Where? When?
Arthur's Transport Cafe. Corner table. Half an hour.
All right then, Arnold. What's all this Burgess and McLean stuff?
All right. Best we're not seen together. People with guns play rough. Got the money?
In my pocket.
Well, let's see.
What sort of a world is it where the crooks don't trust the police? You just have to take my word. Now, let's hear what you've got.
Two blokes, mid-20s. One wearing a signet ring, the other with sticking plaster down his face. Interested?
Yeah. Which side of his face?
Left. Whisper is they've been buying ammo.
Caliber?
2.2. And there's a buzz going around that they're pulling off another job tonight. And they're taking their shooters with them.
Where?
That's where you'll get free. The rest comes expensive.
So does a new set of front teeth.
Oh, well,
I said where, Arnold?
That big new hypermarket just outside the town.
Anderson's?
Yes. Now, it's late night shopping tonight, and there should be over 100,000 in the safe. And only a couple of night watchmen.
What time are they going to pull it?
Oh, blimey, Mr. Slade, you want jam on it. I've no idea.
Is that it?
Isn't that enough?
How'd you get hold of this?
From a reliable source, Mr. Slade. An expensive source. So where's the $2,000?
Here.
A five.